Below the Dot podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi the Next Generation every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
I am your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping season 7. It's a two-part episode, which we, you know, just learned ourselves. Season 7, episode 13 and 14, titled Bust a Move. But before we get into that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
I love Degrassi so much, but I'd be so disappointed to log in and be like, damn, it's a two-part episode. Why do we ever start the trend of doing them at the same episode? Why do we do that to ourselves? But we did. And so I have three questions this week. As you guys know, I'd be busy doing my job at work. And so as a result, I'd be doing the recaps. But apparently, I'd be skimping on the trivia, so there are only three questions this week, and that's okay. Number one, where is Manny applying to school?
Is it Smithdale?
Yes. Okay. Number two, where did Spinner win the tickets? Or how?
Oh, man. From, like, drinking a bunch of the energy drink? The Purple Dragon, like, contest?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of wine does Jay enjoy?
Oh, my God. It starts with a C, I think. But it's not one that I drink normally. Is it Chardonnay? It's not.
Shiraz?
Oh, yes.
S-H-I-R-A-Z. Something that I'm not fancy enough to know of, so...
Right. Is that some Canadian shit? Because the way I have that.
I have not a clue. I just work here. All right.
I think, and yeah. It's funny that Jay would know that if he did know that.
I don't understand who Jason is, and neither does Manny. And we see more about that.
Oh,
okay. Any tidbits for this week?
Just a quick few. Speaking of the fact that this is a two-part episode, allegedly or apparently when this aired in the U.S., it aired as a one-hour special, and they titled it Degrassi Spring Break Movie. Makes sense.
I remember that.
It has that feel of just like it was like not a typical two-part episode because normally they don't end it on such a high note like they did this one, so it makes sense that it was like a little movie. That's cool. I guess in Canada, it was just two parts, though. And then this is officially Emma's 100th episode. I talked probably a couple episodes back that Manny had reached her 100th episode. So Manny hit it before Emma did, even though the whole show is because of Emma. So
that's crazy.
So here we are.
I'm trying to figure out what I was going to tell you. Oh, did I send that to you? It was something about, like, the episode where Manny got the abortion. The pin.
Oh, I saw
and
you
I'm
posted
a communist.
It. Yo, core memories.
I died when my friend sent me that. But anyway, we can go ahead and get into this. For our first episode-ish, whatever this was, Spinner gets Jimmy's attention by yelling, "Hey, Tony Hawking, wait up." Jimmy corrects Spinner because he's clearly meant Stephen Hawking, but also terrible joke.
I can't.
Spinner wants some tickets to a concert at Smithdale. And in this moment, I realize that our plots are likely going to merge because this is a two-part episode and both groups are discussing Smithdale. So Spinner won the tickets by drinking a bunch of Purple Dragon during chemo, which I was certain did not help the process.
Right.
We just overloading with poison?
Right.
Jay is hanging out with Spinner, who is fixing his car. Spinner's fixing Spinner's car. And Spinner asks Jay if he has anything better to do than ride his ass all day. And I was confused as to why Spinner isn't in class and why Jay isn't at work. I mean, if anything, Jay could be fixing Spinner's car.
Right. And why is he still near Degrassi's campus?
He just hangs out around Degrassi all day and never goes to work and can't come in the building. Honestly, Jay is a menace, but one thing that I appreciate is that he owns it. You know, he doesn't pretend that he's a good person.
Oh, not at all.
He wasn't I'm so sorry, Jimmy. No, he was like, no, I wasn't sorry. I was being honest.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can't knock somebody who owns the fact that they are POS.
Okay. Yeah, and he'll fully do it to, like, his advantage. So, like, what we'll see with him do for Manny later is just, like, you're just, like, you're actually scamming and, like, lying, but, like, it's for the greater good in this scenario. But any other day, it's not. It's just for, like, your betterment for most of the time. 'Cause how did we get here?
Nobody's supposed to be here. Okay, so Jay tells Spinner that he and Manny are engaged. And I'm just like, Jason, but it's not real? And then Jason does admit that his engagement is fake, but the benefits are real. And he shares that they're so great, he doesn't even mind driving to Smithdale with her. And I was like, where do they think they're going to be staying?
Girl, everybody going to Smithdale.
So Spinner tries to bum a ride for himself and Jimmy, only to be rejected by Jason. Jason is like, no, I'm traveling with my lady. I can't take you guys in my car. The way I would fight Jason for recording my boobs when I'm trying my hardest to record a video for my application. I also couldn't stand him for asking her to record a sexy video together so he'll have something to remember her by, which is exactly what I would expect out of him.
Right. The wild thing is, too, is for Manny, I don't know why you trust any man with a camera and you. Like, you clearly have a tripod. You can set it up yourself. You don't need him to do it. And that's what also makes me realize, like, y'all aren't really in a relationship because you would probably know that that would be triggering if you were. You know what I mean? Like, that is very much so a callback to what Peter did to her. So, but here he go.
Girl. And so anyway, he left the record feature on the camcorder, which I was like, I can't tell if that was intentional or not. And now he has a video of him and Manny doing what I thought was kissing, but apparently not. I was really confused as to how Ashley ended up going to Smithdale with Emma and Manny and possibly Liberty, because the entire group doesn't make sense. Liberty, when did you decide you were forgiving Emma for being a little bitch? Ashley, when did you decide you were going to forgive Manny? Because weren't you just calling her icky like 10 episodes ago?
Right.
None of it makes any sense. Ashley, why are you here? But you know what? Ashley probably did love it because of why she was going to Smithdale.
Yes.
You know, she probably felt like rubbing that in Manny's face so bad. And it's like, girl, did you win? Did you?
Yeah. No, she fully thinks she has one up on Manny. Meanwhile, you're like hitching a ride to get to your ex-boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like, okay, right. Girl.
I can't stand her. Anyway. Now I realize what put the nail in the coffin for why y'all hate Jason, because this is the episode where he tries to bring Manny down due to his own insecurities. Manny films one last final take for her audition to the applause of Jay's coworkers. Jay makes a comment that he'll need their other video for when she's famous and leaves him behind. And Manny says to him, what makes you think I'll wait to be famous to leave you? So she's like, I'm going to leave you before I'm famous.
So I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yes, Jason, that was the point. So Manny tells Jay to throw out the makeout tape, or I guess sex tape, and she leaves. She clearly doesn't know she's dealing with the actual devil.
Girl, why did you not take that from him?
I'm sorry. I know he was wrong, but I'm so confused as to why she didn't learn from her previous issues.
Right.
Okay, so Manny and Jay beg her parents to go see Jay's ailing grandmother with Joseph's car. Joseph only agrees if Manny doesn't drive, which is wild that he's willing to let Jason, a man he does not know, drive his car over Manny. But it wouldn't be patriarchy if it didn't work.
Right. Girl, and Jay, I think killing his grandmama for them to go to Smithdale.
And Jay is like, I don't even have a grandma. Jay, Manny, and the crew are ready in the vehicle when Jay starts making one too many jokes about his future with Manny. And Manny yells at Jay to stop because his fake engagement was supposed to give her freedom. But he's freaking her out by clinging on to her. She ends her rant by telling Jay he was not invited, and when she gets back to her parents, she's going to break off the engagement.
I've let one man control me my whole life. I'm not about to do that again.
Boss bitch.
Honestly, though, Jay is petty for, like, swapping the tapes, but I would have just went to Manny Dad and been like, this bitch got your car. Like, I actually don't have a grandmother and she got your car, so.
You see, and that's where he let his emotions really just get in the way of him. Because that would have been way smarter. The way I would have just shown up to her place to, like, couch. No, I wouldn't have even told. I would have shown up. And I would have been like, hey, actually, did you, you left this, or I left something here. Did I leave blah, blah, blah here? And then he'd be like, I thought you were, and I said, oh, I thought Manny told you we weren't going anymore. My grandmother's better, or something of the sort. And then her daddy would know. I would have snitched on her.
Yeah. There are so many better ways to go about that.
But I guess this plot is more entertaining. So here we are. Before Jay storms away, Manny asks for his demo tape and he hands it to her, or so she thinks. And now from this moment forward, I just merge the A and B plot, because if I go back to plot B and explain what happens next, it'll spoil the episode. So Jay is in the shop when Jimmy and Spinner roll in, seeking support. Jay is watching Manny's video, remarking how wonderful she is, which confuses Jimmy because that's the video that's supposed to be with Manny. And then Jay admits what he did, so Jimmy congratulates Jay for being a jackass since he ruined her chance at what she wants to do with her life. And now Jay has to set things right, so the three of them set out for Smithdale in the tow truck. That was a lot. I was really confused because apparently Liberty wants to go to Smithdale because her mom's old sorority wants her to attend. Are these sororities not international? Like, are they only present at one school? Like, or nationwide? It just doesn't compute.
I had the same thought too, because it almost felt like with them having such a big plot for Liberty, but then also at the same time not a big plot, that they were like playing around with maybe like spinning off something or like adding her to like a future college roster. Because like, why was it such a big deal that she knew people, but then we don't have a plot for Liberty this episode? Like, you get to stay with Liberty's family or friend or whatever, but we have nothing to do with her the whole time.
I guess in this moment, my pondering is perhaps they are sending Liberty to Smithdale because obviously Liberty is academically advanced beyond Emma and Liberty, Emma and Manny, even though Manny is now being demonstrated to be smart and Emma's failing exams. I don't know, but it's kind of like explaining, well, why would she go to Smithdale instead of going to some other school? I don't know.
They don't know either.
We got to get some Degrassi writers on this show. All right. So where am I? Ashley got tickets to the Secret Purple Dragon concert through her secret connection. And this moment, I actually didn't realize it was who it was. And I was guessing that it was probably Craig with her annoying ass. Oh, and Emma is only going because she wants to get out of the house since Simpson is home for his investigation. So that's why all three of them are here. Manny has an audition. Emma needs to get out of the house. Ashley got tickets to the concert. And Liberty is going to go visit with her mom's old sorority. Manny ignores a call from Jay. She's upset and feeling like Jay is upset and feeling like his chances are gone. Jay decides to stop and help some random girl on the side of the road who's having car trouble. Jimmy and Spinner urge him to go on so they can make the concert, but it does not help. Once Emma, Manny, and Liberty get to the Greek living residence, Ashley shares that she has alternative and mysterious housing this weekend. I literally hate Ashley this entire episode. She's very annoying. Like,
they threw her in here for no reason, because what do you mean? Like, I think
It is. Why was this how they wrote her off the show?
I was just right. Like, this is her last episode, but why did y'all force her in here like this? This is so weird.
And why couldn't Ashley or Craig just finish school? Why don't they let them finish out the season? Where are they going?
Yo, that's so true. She literally came back to not finish because she's going to tour now. What are we here for?
Let's see. She confirms it wasn't her decision or decision. She said it wasn't her decision to leave Degrassi at the end of season 4. Okay, but that doesn't give me what I asked for. What the hell was up with her random leave in the middle of or at the for season? Oh, apparently Daniel Clark left, allegedly, to go to college in California, allegedly.
Oh, that's Sean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer as to why they brought her back to send her away in the middle of the season and not right. let her graduate. Because why did you bring, like, these kids come and go from school so fluidly, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Are yeah. people this fluid with their education in real life?
Yeah. No. No one is, like, keeping track of what these kids are doing by any means.
Yeah. And, you know, all their parents disappeared.
Right.
All the just people vibes. We used to see. All right. Anyway. They're at the house. Ashley's annoying. Manny is impressed by the house's close proximity to the fraternity house. And I am here to let you guys know that I was really stupid when I was younger. I am probably very stupid at a lot of things as an adult, but this is one of the weird common knowledge things that I just feel like I did not understand. So I didn't understand the fraternity brother concept as a child. So, like, I vividly remember learning that one of my dad's brothers, in quotation marks, died when we were younger. And I was like, who is this? So my dad has a brother who's not my uncle. Who is this person? It's this. It was in his
did eternity. They ever explain it to you?
They probably did. But, you know, children aren't known for listening skills or just anything. So it was like, okay, so it's a brother through a group and you call it your brother, but it's not a brother.
Right.
You know, in retrospect, there were signs that sometimes my brain demonstrated some concerning amount of rigidity.
I can't
with that
you.
Is very indicative of other things. That's neither here nor there. That was just really hard for me. So Manny was flirting with some random anonymous man and he highlights her ring, which is hilarious because let me tell you, no man and certainly not a man in a fraternity ever cares about a woman in a ring.
That is so funny.
I was hit on while pregnant with two rings on.
Girl, okay. And that's because I would like to argue, because most men will try not to get married. So why would they know that you're supposed to wear multiple rings, let alone one? You know what I mean? Like, if you watched this last season of Love is Blind, then you would know that one of the contestants that was up there met his fiance, obviously through a wall, got engaged. And then when they were talking about the wedding, he was like, oh, do I get a ring too? I didn't know that. You're on a exactly. show to get married. You don't know that you're supposed to get a ring.
I want you to not be this stupid.
Men are so simple.
Yeah. But yeah, so like him pointing out her engagement ring was just laughable. No man. Yeah. Even if they see it, they don't care. Right. They don't mm-hmm. care. They don't
care. They're legally
care.
Blind.
All right. So meanwhile, the woman on the side of the road invites Jay to a party and he reluctantly turns her down. But just when we think he's going to make the right decision, a cop runs the tow truck's plates and arrests Jay. Now, to me, to know me is to know that it is ACAB all day and every day. And this particular situation is extra so. Because the cop only ran Jay's place because he had pulled over to help the beautiful damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. But Jay had already solved the problem. So he was bitter about it. And he gave Jay a very smug look as he returned to his car. And he said he would wait until her car was running again. But he wasn't worried about anything but the pretty woman. And thus, he was misusing his power for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And even dirty. The way he approached it seemed weird. Like, how did you just pull up on him like that and hem him up like that?
Make it make sense, girl.
Yeah.
And he was trash. Manny is preparing for her interview the following day when Emma and Liberty discover in her preparation attempt that it's actually the video of Manny and Jay apparently not just kissing. Liberty makes a very enjoyable joke in that she asks, what version of Shakespeare is this? The Humping of the Shrew, Midsummer Night's Wet Dream. And I was like, okay, Liberty, I see your writers were working on these puns. Although, I have, what is it? What I don't know enough Shakespeare because I did not take Miss Kwan's class.
Girl, did anybody?
I do know the Taming of the Shrew. Then I just kind of laughed because Spinner asked Jimmy to call his dad, and Jimmy is like, from jail? You want me to call my dad from jail? Are you nuts? Anyway, they're stuck in jail overnight, and the episode ends without Manny getting back the correct demo. Then there's like a plot C, and I was like, is this a plot C? Because I can't even follow this episode well enough, because Darcy is at the nurse for her mom to pick her up. Mm. Things have been difficult for Darcy, but her mom is tired of Darcy's bullshit. And she lets her know, and she lets her know it. I'm tired of your shit. Darcy's mom lets her come home, but then she also allows Darcy to get an attitude with her. Girl, I'm crying because I just realized that this is the episode where Darcy's parents try to throw her into the troubled teen weekend camp. Like, the way the internet is dragging the existence of these camps right now.
I know. Isn't that so, like, the timing of it? Because we talked about this last week. There's, like, a whole documentary or something on it that's, like, circulating right now. And then, of course, homegirl's parents are, like, churchgoers. So this would be, like, they think they can just fix everything with some reformative camp.
And then they did. They fixed her. And it's like, so that's not science. These camps are really bad. I can't believe you had this included in this show. And you have it go successfully. Like, actually, the girlies are traumatized.
Girl. And I mean, like, happiest ending I've ever seen for a Degrassi two-part episode. Happiest ending.
Like, wow, I'm feeling better because you guys threw me in the woods overnight. And I learned I could do it. Do you guys have degrees? Do you guys know children? Have you worked with children? I mean, this was definitely the light version of that. I believe that this is what parents think they're sending their kids to. And in this aspect, it's like, I don't think it is enough. And the least concerning, I don't think it's enough. But also, this ain't what you be sending y'all kids to. This is not how they treat them. This is not how it goes. And don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this episode makes it very clear. Darcy needs, like, intensive therapy. Like, right. Marcus should be talking to somebody. That is not Peter and her parents. Like,
that's so crazy. They were just like, okay, so we're going to send her to this, a camp, and then she'll be better. And then it works.
Right.
All right, where were we? So they have these kids sleeping on yoga mats in the gym, and they're woken up with an air horn. And I just need to know if it is intentionally... As I was watching it, I'm having the same thought process. Like, is this supposed to give conversion camp energy? This is all of that plus wilderness and abuse because they have to roll up their sleeping bags at under 30 seconds or something. And of course, Darcy can't do it. So they have to do it again until everyone gets it right. And Darcy is like, this drill is stupid, but apparently this will prepare the children for their outdoor solo quest in the wilderness. I cackled aloud because they're in a group therapy, and nasty ass Johnny opens up about being an asshole. And then it's Peter's turn, and he confesses that he's there because he did crack cocaine.
Girl.
Which is crazy because he's lying, because he really just could have confessed all the things that he has actually done.
Why?
I recorded a girl naked. I was street racing. Like, what? You don't have to lie.
Yeah, you have actual stuff going on that you could probably be, quote unquote, helped with. But like coming, like sneaking into the camp is also wild. Are you kidding me?
It is Darcy's turn, and she says exactly what I would expect anyone to say.
I don't even talk to my real family. Why would I talk to you?
How did y'all think this would be good for Darcy? How?
Right.
So we learned that Peter's parents needed to ditch him, and also he saw Darcy signed up, so he joined to spend some time with her. And Darcy is so impressed by this that she asks Peter to meet her outside in the hallway. As I watch her whisk him away, I'm like, we don't have enough time. I already know our girl is on some bullshit. To be honest, she seemed suspicious when she invited him. Like, you just knew she was on. Anyway, Darcy tells Peter that she wants to wipe the slate clean and start over with him. And apparently they need a condom to do that. And I can't believe that they actually had sex. Like, I didn't. Yeah. Wow.
Right. Especially after the last episode where, like, that happened with Johnny. And then she had, like, that realization that I actually shouldn't be doing this. And, like, really went along with it and they made it a part of the episode. I don't understand that either.
It's very confusing. I don't remember this at all, but I guess I just don't really know a lot about season 7, and I guess I thought they were going to get caught first, and then they did get caught, but after.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if when they first aired it, like, I'm really wondering if when I first watched it, perhaps if it was just censored.
That could be. It's so, like, it just, like, okay, so she does that, and then this wilderness camp fixes her. Like, that's just not believable, and I don't know. Like, just not how this works. And, like, even Peter going along with it, like, this doesn't make sense. Like, that's not how that works.
It really doesn't. It doesn't at all. I'm wondering, did you look at the trivia or anything on this?
A little bit.
I'm about to go look at Bust a Move Part 1.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Canada had, like, a different version than the one that we saw.
Yeah, I just feel like maybe... Let's see. Well, I'll just take a moment to go look through this. Yeah, I don't see anything that indicates that it was different when it aired in the U.S., but I don't know. Maybe I just was not aware enough what was going on.
Yeah.
So they did get caught. And after, so their punishment is that everyone has to get up an hour earlier. This is a really long weekend. I guess we could just go through episode 2 because I already started to. We'll start with episode 2, plot B. Any questions, comments that you had about the previous episode?
No.
Good. As one could expect, Darcy is still upset, even though Peter attempted to wipe her clean by making love. I don't know why we're calling that love making, but that is neither here nor there. Peter is really understanding of how her experiencing the rape has elicited many negative emotions, and therefore he doesn't believe that she's a bad person. The conversation is great, but he gets taken away so he can be blindfolded. That will certainly make him behave, obviously. He's a changed man. As a mental health provider on this call, I just want to say that none of this is sanctioned, and all of these activities are terrible. But I am by no means an expert, so... Just throwing in my 2 cents. I will say that we do guided relaxation activities. And when we do them, we don't even require the kids to close their eyes because we understand how trauma can impact a child's comfort level with closing their eyes. So, like, not them out here blindfolding people.
Again, right? Even for Darcy, that's the worst person to blindfold in this scenario, right? Where it's like she talks about it later, but she has no, like, what she is... like struggling with is something that she can't remember because she couldn't see it happening. So like, hello?
Right. So it's just like, we come from a very autonomous approach where it's like, you can close your eyes, but you don't have to close your eyes. If you don't close your eyes, all I ask is that you look down or look up, but you don't look at somebody else because that could make them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So like, you don't have to do it. You could just put your head down. You don't even have to follow along with what I'm doing, but you do have to be quiet so that other people can. So this whole concept of blindfolding people is just crazy to me. And that's giving, I just threw anyone who is available into this job. And people who don't know how to work with kids do a lot of terrible, stupid things. Because people who do know how to work with kids do terrible and stupid things. But, you know, what do I know? So they reach the solo quest destination for Darcy and she is not happy. She didn't prepare with the group and therefore she has no idea how she's supposed to survive the entire night. I'm wondering if they have food.
Well, I've been listening to God my whole life, and look where that got me.
Great news. Darcy survives the night. She doesn't get the tent, but she does survive, and she makes it back with 10 seconds to spare. She's followed only by Johnny DeMarco, who miraculously looks cleaner after a night out in the woods than he has his entire time on the show.
It was really giving Hunger Games the way they were in this these woods.
God. Yes. That's exactly what it was.
Like, what?
Darcy's parents wrote a stupid letter about how she's always been their angel and now she's changed. They pull out the old empty chair routine and tell Darcy to talk to the chair as if she's talking to the person who hurt her. And Darcy actually does participate in the exercise and it seems to help. Darcy then successfully participates unwillingly in some trust activities with the tribe. And I end it there, but I feel like there was, like, more. She definitely has a happy ending.
Yeah, I know. Was that the happy ending though?
I don't know. You know, I didn't give a shit about Darcy.
Like what? I know. I'm trying to think. Like, was there anything else from them? Either way, none of that makes sense because I don't think she should have been forced to talk to a group of people about the things she, again, couldn't even tell her parents. But here we are. And again, I'm supposed to believe that like y'all blindfolded her and throw her in the woods overnight made her comfortable talking to a bunch of strangers about the fact that she was sexually assaulted. Okay.
And I will say to that I always thought it was so crazy. I think it's crazy that she's disclosing this to this group of students who go to her school, and
Right.
obviously they gossip. But I will say that a lot of my peers went to Snowball. Unsure if you're familiar with it. There was like Snowball when we were in middle school, and then Snowball in high school, and it was this weird culty camp that the kids went to over the weekend, I think, maybe.
Ooh.
I don't know. It wasn't like this, but then they all did groups and had conversations. I don't know how you got to even go to it. Now I have to ask my friends about it. But they would always come back, and they would never come back and spill the tea. They would keep it all to themselves. They saw where these stupid ass shirts that would say on the back, if you went to Snowball, you would know, but it was like the abbreviations, so you didn't know because you didn't go to Snowball, so you didn't know what it stood for. But obviously, I didn't know what it stood for, and I didn't go to Snowball. But that said, apparently they really impressed upon those people because nobody, I mean, I also didn't ask, and I
Yeah.
maybe I should have pressed more. I don't know.
That's interesting. Again, because they're high schoolers and it's like information that you like kiki with your friends about sometimes. Not Darcy's situation, obviously, but just like whenever
Right.
someone says something wild or like that people aren't supposed to know, your first instinct for a lot of people is to go tell somebody about it.
Peter and they're playing about doing crack.
Right. I might be a storyline later down the road. I don't know because I don't remember, but that's what I would definitely expect Johnny to go back and do is tell people that.
Right. All right, so we're going to continue on to plot A because who knows what happened with Darcy's plot. Still upset about the demo mix-up, Manny theorizes about auditioning without her demo reel and performing in person with the woman they call the Dame, who is apparently very difficult to impress. Tony agrees to unreport the truck stolen after some groveling from Jay, and they're released from jail. Manny begs to audition in the absence of her reel, and she's allowed to do so, but she fails when Jay interrupts to provide her demo reel. Obviously, they fight off after her audition because Manny is rightfully pissed. Like, I know we both understand that Jay is an absolute menace, but I will reach down to the bar, which is on the floor, to say that he did own up to his behaviors. He doesn't deny what he did. He didn't pretend it was an accident, and he didn't gaslight her. He's like,
Right.
yeah, I was mad, and that was a bad choice. Okay, and still, F you.
Right. Two things can be true.
I need to know if they try to make this episode hilarious because Jimmy and Spinner are at the sorority house hanging out, and Manny is rightfully still upset about Jay. But meanwhile, Jay is with the professor to offer her a foot rub and some relaxation so that she'll watch Manny's demo reel. Exactly. I'm like cackling this whole episode. So the professor offers Jay a bottle of wine to share with her. Well, I guess he rubs her feet, and because
Oh.
not Jay sitting with the professor with his shirt unbuttoned after he spills wine on it. And Manny is not enjoying the party, so he's over here dancing the tango with this woman while Manny is making out and kissing with some anonymous frat boy. Jay
Girl.
really does end up rubbing that woman's feet. What in the Dan Schneider is this?
I know, right? Like, how did we get here? It's so funny to me. And it's also like Jay over here really putting in work. And all of that's believable to me because when it comes to like acting and all that weird stuff, I just wouldn't be surprised if these people are getting bribed left and right to let someone into their school. I mean, you saw they faked who the hell when Aunt Becky went to jail because they paid mad money for homegirl to be on the rowing team to get into USC. Like, people do stuff for less, you know what I mean?
You right. That
But what
really
the
did
hell?
happen.
It
Like,
sure
that really
did.
did.
She served her time in jail too. Her daughter's still a YouTuber out here, got a whole house as if
Ain't she
nothing
dating
happened.
somebody? Who did the internet try to tell me she's dating? Then think I would care.
What is that man? Jacob Elordi, that man from Euphoria that plays Nate.
Yeah, interesting. Anyway, is that show done? Because it should be.
Girl, they just need to wrap it up, let it go.
Yeah, y'all have to just throw it in the trash. It's done. It's
We
dead.
had
That's
right. We had
over.
two seasons. I think that was it. Euphoria was in its prime, and now it's not. Like, we don't need any
And
more.
then you took like what, 4 years to bring it back, and y'all done lost some.
I know. And they're gonna act like they're still
R.I.P.
in high school. Them children are like 35.
Right. I'm pretty sure you're older than I am at this point. And that's not like I shouldn't be playing a high schooler. All right. Anyway, Professor Dunwoody says she feels 20 years younger after a night with Jay and his
Ew.
tango skills, his firm but gentle fingers. Also, rewind because something happened before that. The next morning, Jay shows up to tell Manny that she has an audition in an hour, and when she asks what he did to arrange it, he tells her not to mind grown folks' business. Manny auditions, and she gets into the program, and that's when she says that she feels younger after a night with Jay. Jay and Manny talk, and it seems they're getting back together. Spinner and Jimmy are standing next to Ashley when they discover that Craig is the mystery concert performance. They're obviously disappointed to learn that it's Craig because they traveled this far to see someone they could have called. Craig finally gives Ashley the verbal credit she deserves, but probably none of the money.
Girl, okay, so where's the money? 'Cause you over here acting so goo goo gaga stupid over this man. He probably still owes you royalties.
I literally hate her. I hate her. I hate him. I hate this.
So simple.
Apparently, he emailed Ashley after she and Jimmy broke up and he asked her to go on tour with him in Europe. Jimmy is bitter, but I'm wondering why, because.
What is anyone mad about in this episode? Like, y'all broke up and you told her to leave you.
Right. And she was getting on your nerves and she was dirty. You also could have had success without her. Manny tells Jay about how she used to be crazy for Craig, but he's so yesterday. While he's up there performing with Ashley, but while she's telling Jay that he's her today and tomorrow, the anonymous man from last night tells her that he had an awesome time last night. And then I'm like,
Girl.
I thought this was the next day, but I don't know if it was the next day because then Manny's attaching her car to Jay's tow truck and she professes that she's going where he goes. They get back together to be engaged for real. He forgives Manny for the anonymous man from last night. We'll like more answers about Ashley and Craig. How did they end up kissing together in the concert after leaving? Or how did Manny and Jay end up kissing together in the concert after leaving the concert to get back together at his tow truck? How are Ashley and Craig still singing? This is apparently the last time that we see Ashley on camera, as I'm noting now, but I know that Terry said it earlier. And according to Degrassi Wiki, she dropped out of school to tour with Craig. Crazy, because I had assumed that she was going to go with Craig after she graduated, but no. Which would make sense since she wasn't seen at graduation, and then the episode is over. What?
I don't understand why they made that be Ashley's last episode. That is so random.
I don't think anyone knows. I
That
think
is
we're all
so
confused.
random. I think the funny thing about that man is too, is like to your point, like homeboy noticed her engagement ring the night before, but doesn't notice that she's about to kiss another man and like goes up to her and is like, "Hey, last night was so fun." Like, what?
But it's like, did you or did you not notice that you were doing something? Like, I hate you. I hate
What?
you. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, they're so random for that. But go off, I guess. I mean, Manny got a callback, or maybe she'll get an offer to the school and Ashley to never be seen again. So
I thought Mandy get she got into the program, she said, I thought.
I think they said yes, like they'll recommend her, but it will take some other stuff. I'm assuming homegirl needs a what is it? Like an admission acceptance in the first place.
Oh, see, I thought it was one of those things where it's like, as long as you don't fail out of high school at this point, you can go.
Maybe. I just know homegirl was like, yes, I'll recommend you, but some. So maybe it's she just needs to graduate and then they need to like further approve her. I don't know. But I mean, now she got to go tell her parents. What are you gonna tell your parents? That you got into the school when you were supposed to be visiting his mom, his grandmother? It just doesn't add up.
Right.
None of this makes sense.
Do you have any morals? Morals? I'm confused. Morals? Conversion camps are trash. Morals?
Honestly.
Don't get engaged to the high school demon.
Right. Don't trust a man with a video camera. I don't know. That's all I got.
Danny and Derek team up with Peter and a girl named Rachel on a class assignment, which only makes me think of This Is For Rachel. I know you. I feel like you should know the rest of that. The voicemail.
Oh, yes. This you is stupid.
For Rachel from voicemail. Let's see if I can see if somebody transcribed it.
She's just cussing her out.
This is for Rachel, you big, fat, white, nasty-smelling, fat bitch. Why you took me off this motherfucking schedule with your trifling, dirty-ass, white, racist-ass, you big, fat bitch, Oompa Loompa body-ass bitch. I'm coming to you. I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you, bitch. And don't even call the police, because today, I'm gonna come up there unexpected and wait on your motherfucking ass bitch. I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you. Oh my god. I can't believe somebody said this.
That is funny. I never knew the context of that. I just knew that they say, hey, Rachel, she starts cussing somebody out. That's funny. Oh, my gosh.
What a good time.
The internet is great sometimes.
All right. So I don't even know if I finished reading. Okay, Danny and Derek team up with Peter and a girl named Rachel on a class assignment. Their friendship is threatened when they both develop feelings for her. Meanwhile, Emma finds it hard to deal with the false accusation. No, their friendship was threatened when one of them doesn't recognize blatant racism. Back to Emma. Emma finds it hard to deal with the false accusation made against Snake, and when Damien offers comfort, she does the absolute fucking most. But what they write is that she develops feelings for him. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast. If you enjoyed your listen, amazing. Keep telling a friend to tell a friend to come back and listen for more. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts or email us at whateverittakes385@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airways this time next week. Whatever it takes.